Al Mohler, Sue and I were just talking about Al Mohler, has a podcast, and there's a quote here at the beginning of our lesson. We cannot add time. We can only exercise stewardship over the time we are given. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we think it's our time, but it's the time that the Lord has given us. So we're going to learn today about redeeming the time and scheduling. And I first want us to focus in on this little scripture down here on the left-hand side. And I thought this was very appropriate and timely, considering that we're watching the Olympics and how the athletes have trained with their schedules and their self-discipline and their practice of perseverance. And in order for us to excel, we must do as Paul prescribes in this verse. So would somebody like to read that?
We don't all have your version. We only have these two pages. This is all we get.
I can read it.
Oh.
So yeah. We don't know the scriptures. We don't get what you have.
Yeah. I can.
Is that true for everybody?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have the full.
Yeah. All right.
Only thing is mine is chopped off. Is it 1st or 2nd Corinthians?
It is 1st Corinthians.
Okay. Let me get to
9:24
yep.
to 27.
Oh, I got that part of it.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27.
Okay. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified.
So, in order for us to redeem the time, for us to be persistent in what we do, we have to practice, we have to set schedules for ourselves, we have to have self-control over our time, and that is something that I struggle with. So we'll be looking at some ways that we can be running and striving to learn and be disciplined with the time that the Lord gives us. So there's a lot of scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament about time. So I asked a couple of you to find verses, and the first one is Ephesians 5:15 and 16.
I already have it written down, because that's the one I've been posting on my calendar every, you know, like, so
well,
I see it every day.
Then you can read it.
Well, you can say it from memory if you know it.
I know most of it, but okay. I'm going to have it up just so that I know.
That's okay. I'm trying to learn that one, too, so.
That's one I have, thankfully.
Yeah. I just rewrote it today. Here, see, it's all highlighted. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. I like the next part. I'm going to add. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Proverbs 12:24.
The hand of a diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor.
And then Colossians 3:23 and 24.
Did you give that to anybody?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving.
Okay, so we're given scriptural mandates to be careful how we walk, be diligent in what we do. And there's an old adage that says if you aim for nothing, mm-hmm. you're sure to hit it. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we have a good goal and that we're moving forward doing the things that the Lord has planned for us. And one of the other verses is Psalm 90:12. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And I found an article by a theologian, a teacher by the name of Andrew Davis. And I had started reading a book of his. It's about the Christian contentment, similar to Jeremiah Burroughs, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. It's more of a modernized version. And this is a devotional taken from the Table Talk magazine from May of this year, and it's about numbering our days. So how can we measure the preciousness of time, and how can we grasp the folly of wasting this precious gift? In 2024, we're all being brought closer and closer to the day of reckoning, when we'll have to give an account for how we spent every minute. And we can see around us some of the current events that make us think that this may be happening sooner than later, and it is going to happen sooner. We're getting closer and closer to it every day, but we don't fret about that. We don't worry about that. But the Lord tells us He wants us to number our days, so that we can get a heart of wisdom. And also in Ephesians 5:16, in the King James Version, it says, redeem the time because the days are evil. So the word translated redeeming literally means to buy out. The Greek prefix out implies bondage and danger from which the time must be rescued. So I never really thought about it as being bondage. But sometimes when you think about how frustrated you can be about not getting things done, sometimes I feel like I'm in bondage to that. So I could see that very well.
You just made me think too, like we're also constrained by, there's only 24 hours in a day, and that's all any of us are given. We stretch that out.
That's right. So the word redeem for the biblical concept of redemption is of the rescue of a powerless victim from the bondage, danger, or death by the payment of a price. See every day like that. And without faith-filled exertion, that particular day will be lost for all eternity. So we have to give an account for what we're doing with our time. If deeds will burn like wood, hay, and straw because it was not improved for the kingdom of Christ, so Lord, teach us to number our days. So how do we do that? How do we do that properly? And He gives us four things that we can think about to redeem the time. And He says it begins with being intensely aware that our time here on earth is limited. We only have so much time. Our expiration date has been determined. And that's it. And we don't know when that is, so we have to live each day for the glory of God. He continues, it continues by believing that all the days ordained for us were written in God's book of decrees before one of them came to be. So they all have a definite purpose. And that's from Psalm 139:16. And then it extends to understanding how precious time must be if our eternity depends on our making the most of every day by trusting in Christ as Savior. It is the fullness of time that Christ, it is in the fullness of time that Christ came, and at just the right time we must trust in Him. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Hebrews 3:7-8. And then finally, it resides in our seeing each moment of each day as a crafted gift from God, never to be repeated, in which God has prepared eternally sequential good works for us to do, unique works that we can never do again once that specific moment has passed. So that makes me think really hard that each moment has been crafted as a gift from God, and we can't take that back. So that is the encouragement from Andrew Davis. Says, dear reader, number your days properly. Redeem them by faith in Christ. Exhaust their potential by energetic labor, and look forward eagerly to a world when time will be redeemed. So I thought this was a really good way to think about these things in a biblical time frame and biblical mandate. So that is the start of all of this, that we want to do things biblically and we want to know that this is what the Lord wants for us, to number our days, to redeem the time, to use the time that he's given us for his glory. And then we remember from Ecclesiastes where it says there's a time for everything mm-hmm. and a season for everything. So that is another encouragement for us. And then the rest of the world is on a time schedule. You have airline tickets that got all messed up a couple weeks ago.
My flight got canceled.
Oh, yeah. And see, all of those things, it snowballs after mm-hmm. a while. We have appointments. We have doctor appointments. We have dental appointments. You have to go to work. Everybody has, who has a job has to be there at a certain time. So everything is on the schedule and mm-hmm. we need to fall into step with all of that. And to do it wisely and to do it according to the way that God has planned for us. So, you want to look well to the ways of your life, your family, and making the most of your time. You work heartily, you seek diligence, you implement order and observe seasons that are principles that we glean from the scripture. So wisdom that focuses our days, our hours, our minutes to be used for the glory of God will help us with planning and setting goals, distributing our work, our kids' activities, preparing for events to be punctual. This is not always the thing that I've been good at, but I was reading in one of these other books here that when you are late, when you are continually late, you are stealing time away from other people. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're having to wait for you mm-hmm. or some other reason, and that was something that I never really thought about before.
Yeah.
That we are stealing time from other people.
My husband says it's disrespecting other people.
Mm. Yeah. It's
but
true.
He's why I'm late. I told him I needed to leave and he was like, oh, and I'm like, I have to respect my husband.
Respecting your husband is good. We want to do that. We're learning to do that. Mm-hmm. So we always have to think about scheduling things, and the Proverbs 31 woman was good at that, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
She smiles at the future. She prepares things in advance. She looks well to the ways of her household, and she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's a good thing to be able to track what you do with your journal, or some people have tools that they can use to make a to-do list for mm-hmm. today or whatever. Anybody have that? I know uh-huh. you said you have a journal.
Not a journal. I have a planner.
Oh, a planner.
I bought a planner. I mean, I use my phone too, like for mm-hmm. shopping lists and different things like that. But so I'm like between both worlds. I like paper. I like the iPad and the electronics too. But to have it out, like I have it out on my kitchen counter out in front of me, and I can look at, okay, what am I looking to do today? What am I looking to get accomplished? And I also like the sense of accomplishment of checking things off the list.
And do you add something onto the list just to check it off that you did, even though you
sometimes
didn't?
Sometimes.
I do that, but I love that feeling of accomplishment.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then some things, like mine has little boxes next to the tasks that you write, and you can either check it or you put a little arrow and move it to the next day,
yep.
kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I knew, like, when I retired, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't wasting my time or, you know, just letting it get away from me, because mm-hmm. it's easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has helped me a lot, to as far as looking at what do I plan, what do I want to accomplish today, and
yeah,
it's kept me focused, I guess you could say.
Okay, well, good. I think that's really great, and I do that too. I kind of make a to-do list, but I want us to remember that what we want to do may not be what the Lord wants us to mm-hmm. do. So mm-hmm. you commit your list to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, what do you want me to do? Because we can plan our day, but the Lord directs our steps.
Right.
So what
I
we may
have a funny story about that.
Okay, let's hear it.
So like you, I like to think about my day, but I thought I'm going to get ahead of it. I'm going to think the night before, make my to-do list for the next day. So when I wake up, I'm not wasting my time like, what should I do? I know when I wake up the things on my to-do list, because sometimes I'll get like, I'm like, well, first I got to do my exercises and my time with the Lord. And then I'm like, you know, I get distracted. So I thought, I'll do that. Well, my to-do list yesterday, nothing got done on it because God had other plans, because my husband had things that he needed me to do. And he said that, and I told him, well, I've got these things. And I looked at the list and I thought, they can really wait, right? And so let me do what my... So it was just like what you said. And at first I was like, well, disappointed, because I looked at the end of the day and I didn't do a single thing on my... I only had four, like, tasks to accomplish, but I didn't
but
do...
But you did.
But
you
I didn't do...
your husband.
But I honored my husband, so I feel good about that. But it was just like, oh.
Well, and that brought glory to the Lord, and that's our purpose, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
That was good.
I felt good. I felt good, but
absolutely.
It was just funny, because
I
was like,
that's
oh,
great.
Okay.
That... It reminded me, I had a similar thing happen. It was interesting because I had all, especially being a single person, you know, I can plan my day. I don't get too many interruptions of people, you know, needing me for anything in particular. So I was actually at Walmart because I was going to do some shopping, and I got a phone call from my sister, and she's like, would you, something happened with Kate back at the house. Mm-hmm. And they were driving Jim's sister to the airport. So they were like, can you? And I'm like, absolutely. Out of Walmart, go to the house. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's what the Lord had. And it was neat because she was upset. Picked her up. We went out to dinner. We went and got ice cream.
She loves food.
And I was like, this is what the Lord had planned. Walmart can wait, you know. But you have to leave that room in your schedule, you know.
That's what my husband always tells me.
Or hold it loosely, I guess is what I would say.
So, yes, it's good to have a plan, but hold it loosely.
That's a great way of phrasing it.
Yeah. And look at how that plan has brought glory to the Lord.
Amen.
Not glory to you necessarily. And what works for Jennifer may not work for you, and what your plans are different than Christina's and mine. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's okay. And it's not good for us to compare ourselves to other people, because then you get discouraged. Because Christina has teenagers. I don't have any kids at home.
Right.
You know, you don't.
Right.
You don't. And so what she's doing may be totally different than what I'm doing. And I can't compare, because that steals time away too, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wasting time in comparison.
Yeah.
And then a lot of it depends on our temperament and our personality too. Some people are real active and busy, and I have a friend who's really good at cleaning, and I wish I could be, you know.
Send her to my house.
She likes to clean, and she
I
just
love to clean.
She does it so efficiently. You know, I'm an hour to do a project that she can do in 15 minutes, but you know, that's just who she is. And I'm who I am, so we can't compare and wish that we were somebody else, because this is who the Lord made us to be.
Mm-hmm.
So here are some gauges that Jill has suggested for us to think about, to check to see if you're looking well to your ways or not. One. Are you being a diligent worker with the energy, time, and resources God has given you? So are you a person who is real energetic in the morning and kind of peters out at the end of the day? Well, maybe you should do your thinking work or your doing work at that time when you are most awake or most energized to do that. Or maybe you're a person who's a night owl. The only thing with that I see for myself is if I stay up late to do stuff, sometimes in the morning, I'm tired, you know. So you have to kind of figure out that system for yourself.
Can you say that sentence again? Are you being a diligent worker? the for question? The
Lord? Oh, are you being diligent worker with the energy, time, and resources God has given you? Okay, second one. Are you doing what your husband wants you to do? And does he believe you are looking well to the ways of your household? So Jennifer is, yes.
Well, in that moment, that day, one day.
Well, that's all we have is one day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what our husband wants us to do should take precedent over what we want to do. Maybe I have planned to do ironing one day and Carl wants to go for a ride. Okay, let's go.
I'd happily train.
Or whatever, you know, maybe you were going to be cooking a special meal or something for somebody and your husband, you know, wants to go, well, then maybe you'll end up buying a meal for somebody instead of cooking it. Are you flying by the seat of your pants most days and surviving? Or can you say that you are making goals and accomplishing them? And are more, and the goals are more often than not thriving. So sometimes I fly by the seat of my pants to get things done. But sometimes that happens, but it maybe can be avoided if we plan more diligently. So what you want to do then is to find out what your priorities are. Everybody's got different priorities, but we need to evaluate them. Are they what I want to do? Is it what my husband wants me to do? Is it what I should do at church? Is it what my friend wants to do? Is it because I want to keep up with Susie, who's such a good housekeeper? Well, let's say Sally or, you know, somebody else. So we want to find out the priorities. Now, if you have children, that is different than if you have no children at home. Let's see. A couple things that I think are important is that you have a schedule to allow you to prioritize your work and rest that you need and then be able to focus on each child. I know some moms have special days with their kids. So one day will be one child and another day will be another child. And I think that is good for you and the child. Planning ahead helps you not to have to make hasty decisions or 100 decisions in a pressing moment. And one of the things that we did when our kids were home was that if they wanted to go out or have friends come in, they had to plan it a day ahead. I was not going to interrupt the schedule that I had planned for the day just because they wanted to go to Joey's house and I had to go to the doctor or whatever. So we always made that a priority to plan that at least a day in advance. And the routines help the kids too. It helps them to know what they're supposed to be doing, what they need to be doing next. It helps them to know that in life, things have to be scheduled. If they have to go to soccer practice, they have to get their homework done first. Or if they want to go out and play, maybe they need to do their chores. So those kinds of things play into it. So a good evaluation of your priorities by God's command is a prerequisite to redeeming your time and numbering your days. So some other benefits regarding scheduling is that it allows for an ability to seek to complete all that needs to be accomplished. So maybe getting Sunday school lesson done if you're a Sunday school teacher or helping your kids. We have Kids for Truth. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's a Bible learning time for kids where they're learning the actual doctrine. So part of that is they have to have memory verses and have homework done. So it's little devotions every day. So this is something that maybe will need to be made a priority. Routines build muscle memory for body and mind to complete the task. So every morning, getting up and doing exercise or getting up and doing your devotions. And there's a security in knowing what comes next and a sense of accomplishment and progression. So your kids will know that okay, it's breakfast, we're going to have devotions at breakfast. Or maybe for you, you're going to have devotions before you eat breakfast, or whatever your plan is. And this is one that I have meditated on, that I want to meditate on more. We want to make sure that we have opportunity to be thoughtful and loving toward others by keeping your word when you say you will be present, and by consistently being on time. So I'm thinking of this in regards to, say, like praying for people. When you say you're going to pray for somebody, I just sometimes just stop and pray for them right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, otherwise I forget.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then it just kind of goes by the wayside. So
that's why I like our church app, because, like, for me, I have notifications set, so it pops up, and right then and there, I can stop.
You have to show me where that is.
Hmm?
You have to show me where that is on the app. I don't know.
Oh,
it's just like when people post, it comes through on the notifications.
I haven't, like, I don't know. Yeah, I haven't.
Do you have the app?
I have the app, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's your notifications on your phone.
I don't get notifications from the app, though.
No, but you...
Yeah, so...
Do you have messages?
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out, yes.
Okay. And then there might be a natural increase in time as your priorities are taken care of with less wasted time.
Mm.
Okay? And there's safety in knowing where the lines of life and self-control lie, and whether you've crossed them or not. And this is especially true for kids. So kids always need to learn self-control. Adults do too, but kids need to learn. Kids need to learn that. And so there's safety for them in knowing where those lines are, where they can cross or they cannot cross.
And it's
good for us too.
You know, when my son was little, one time I remember they were outside playing in the driveway, and I just said, he said, "Hey, time to go in. We're going to have dinner." And he turned to the neighbor kid and he said, "Oh, we're going to have dinner, and then we have bath, and then we read a book, and then we go to bed." Like, because he knew, like, we had a schedule and this is what we do. And it made the transition, which was always hard for him. Transitions were hard, so it was really important that I keep it.
Yeah.
And it really made a difference.
And there's safety for kids in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's boundaries, there's safety in that. Mm-hmm. And as hard as it is sometimes as moms to make that schedule for our kids in the long run, it's safety for us.
Former elementary school teacher, so.
Well, it's also, if you have, like, for me, it would be, okay, Kate and I, on every Thursday, we come here to the church. She has her little serving test that she does. And I'll tell her, you know, maybe next week on Thursday we'll go to Panera after we're done. Well, that's in her head.
Mm.
And she remembers.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that Thursday rolls around and I haven't kept my word, so to speak, you know, it's important.
It's important.
Yeah.
Does she remind you?
Oh, yeah.
So that it doesn't pass. Mm-hmm.
Well, or she'll ask me, I forgot to silence my phone. She'll ask me, do you have a busy afternoon, like this afternoon? Do you have a lot to do? And I know that that's leading into, can we go to Panera, you know, so.
What does she get there?
What's that?
What does she get there?
Oh, the broccoli soup, broccoli and cheddar soup.
That's
all
it.
The time.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty healthy. If you got like 5 things, you know, broccoli and cheddar soup, could be one of them.
That's what she says.
Okay, so how do we do this?
Silence.
So we have to remember Psalm 90:12, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. So we have to work out the deeds of the Spirit through His power as He works in us, Philippians 2:12-13. And then the fruit of peace and patience and self-control can guide and direct a day toward order and productivity. So one of the things that people do is journal. Journal out what you do every day for a few days and evaluate. Okay? Like, where in my day am I wasting time? I found that I was wasting time looking at my emails and messages. And then I got to the point where I didn't even look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed things.
Balance.
And so, yes, balance. And so, as an example, I And I think as the Lord's just teaching me to be more self-controlled and to be more regimented about what I do. I don't generally look at my emails very much. So yesterday I thought, well, I'm going to look at my emails. Well, near the top was an email from Amazon that they were charging me for a product that I had returned. It was like $98.
Ooh.
And I thought, oh, where's that paper, you know, that I got from the UPS when I brought the thing back? Well, I found it. And then I looked back through the Amazon thing, and it said they did receive it. So then I called and they rectified that. But if I hadn't looked at my email, mm-hmm. I would be charged $98 and I wouldn't be, I probably wouldn't even know it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was kind of like, okay, Lord, you're trying to teach me to be more disciplined about looking at my 1,000 emails a day or whatever it is. Okay, so what things in my day are not profitable and what can be cut out? Okay, do you talk on the phone a lot? Do you read newspapers and I think that's
social
something
media.
Profitable, but
social
you know,
media.
Yeah, social one. Media. Crossword puzzles, I don't know, is that?
That's good for your brain.
Yeah.
I think that's okay. Unless you're not doing something else that you should be doing.
Right,
else.
Right,
right.
Right.
You know, like.
Or, you know, Paul talks about the widows who go and are busybodies and, you know, are we doing that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Is there adequate time carved out for my own spiritual walk and pursuits? So are you missing your daily devotions or time with the Lord in prayer? Are you reading books? Are you listening to sermons? Are you, and some people like to, while they're washing dishes or ironing or whatever, listen to sermons, listen to podcasts, which, you know, are spiritually encouraging.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny you should say that because I was listening to Elizabeth Elliot this morning while I was making my breakfast. And
yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, you know.
Yeah.
I iron and I listen to Elizabeth Elliot. She's on YouTube.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Also podcast. You can
Spotify.
Oh,
okay. That's on my phone, but I don't know how to use it and I don't want to pay
it's
for
a
anything.
Thing.
Yeah, okay. Am I focusing on my top priorities, which would be a husband, children, home, serving the church? Am I constantly late to things? So, do I need to consider patterns of lateness to be stealing from others? That's what we talked about. And I think it has to do with pride, thinking that you have enough time to do what you want to do before you have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, those things are so important, and you have to get them done. So it's a prideful thing, and I'm learning that from this book, taking back time.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Darn pride, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it is.
I know.
Oh, everywhere I turn around, it's there on my face.
I had a pastor in it wasn't the best church that I was in. I wasn't discerning, but he did talk about, he said, if you think about it, the first sin was really pride, because it was Satan. Who wanted to be like God.
Yeah.
And I had never thought of that. I was like, wow. Even before Adam and Eve. Wow.
I think it's one of those sins that everybody has. Because not everybody steals. Not everybody murders, right? There's lots of sins out there. But you cannot get away from being prideful.
And it's the root of a lot of things. That's,
so many problems.
Am I taking time to teach my children and working hard and making the most of their time because the days are evil? So children and grandchildren, you know, we were with our grandchildren last week, and the little ones need the encouragement to think about how God is working in their lives. The older ones do too, but they're so much older. Well, we had good conversations with them too. So we need to remember Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in very little things is faithful also in much. So we want to be faithful in the little things and be found to be faithful in the big things as well. So when we're thinking about scheduling, it can be done in a variety of different ways. Having a general flow to your day, that's generally the same day to day, but not overly detailed. So like your son knew that after dinner, take a bath, you read, then you go to bed. Okay. I think a lot of times I see with young moms that they don't really have a schedule for their kids, and they just follow their kids, whatever they're doing. And, you know, that could be very destructive to a mother's ability to feel like she's doing a good job with her kids, because we have to remember that the child joined your family, not now you're following your child, you know. The child has to adjust himself to your family. So that is something to serious listening to me. And you want to have a schedule that's based around your child's needs too, okay? If you have a baby, the baby should be sleeping on a schedule. And I know there was some mother that someone was telling me about that had never heard about scheduling your baby to sleep at certain times. They would just let the baby sleep, and then when it woke up, she'd feed it, and she didn't have a job outside the home, so she could just focus all of her time on the baby. And that can be hard on the family as well. Sometimes you have to have a detailed schedule, an hour by hour or half hour at a time type of a schedule. And it shows you that you can have time to do other things during the day when you schedule it like that. And sometimes you have to have a schedule where each day of the week is different, but every day is the same. So like, I do laundry on Tuesday, I clean on Thursday because my husband goes to play golf and he's not around, and I could, you know, do it the way I want to do it. And, you know, shopping, sometimes we go on Wednesday because he doesn't have a whole lot of things to do on Wednesday. So, but that's kind of the schedule a little bit that I have. So, anybody have any tips on the way that they have scheduled or things that they do?
Well, like you said, I mean, as a teacher, I was scheduled and everything had its place and it was easy. And then I stopped working and I needed time to recover because my health had really suffered. So I had all this time and I was really just focusing on getting healthy. And then all of a sudden I'm feeling better, and then it's like the days go by and I'm like, okay, what did I actually get done today? Well, I played pickleball. What I did. And we moved, and so I was meeting new people, and then we moved again, and now we're here, and now it's like, I'm like, okay, we're here, we're settled, we have a house, the house is just about set up now. And I was talking to my husband about it today, and he said, I know that I function better when I have routines, and when I might resist them, but I know that I'm a better person I'm more effective and more efficient and more productive if I have a schedule. But if I have such a schedule that's so intense, then I become not as nice because I get too stressed by the, right? So like, he's like, you gotta provide enough time in your schedule. So he is gonna help me prioritize. And, you know, and I have been so resistant to having him do that because I'm like, I know how to do this. I was a teacher. Everything was scheduled. But now I'm like, you know what? He's got so much wisdom, and I'm going to, like, just, we're going to do it together. So I'm excited about
that. That's great, yeah.
But I do like you do. I mean, I know that Wednesdays is when I change the sheets, you know, and like, that is really helpful. But I'm also trying to plan for, and I don't know how to do this. How do we plan in such a way that we're not so tied to the schedule that if something comes up that it doesn't blow everything up and be like, snowball. I think that's my anxiety about putting everything in his schedule, because the way his job works, he has a lot of flexibility. And so every day I'm like, he's got certain meetings, but then he just responds to emails on his phone. If we have to go to this, like, we'll go shopping in the middle of the day, or we'll go play pickleball, or we'll go, I mean, like, we'll do things together in the middle of the day because his job allows that,
mm-hmm.
but it makes my day then feel like I'm always just waiting on him
mm-hmm.
to like, okay, what are we, what's next? How much time do I have before
yeah.
you might,
and
maybe
that's
it's
just
tricky
not
part.
To load your schedule up, your daily schedule, so full.
Yeah, but
yeah.
how do you do that? Because as I started naming things to him, and then he started adding things, and all of a sudden I started to feel like, it's going to get so jam-packed, and I don't have any kids at home anymore. Well, we will. Our 18-year-old is moving in with us next week. So, it's going to change a little bit. But
take a breath.
I know.
Remember, be anxious for nothing.
Yes.
But in everything, by prayer and supplication,
make
with Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all going to be good, but it's just
yeah.
all these things that, you know.
Leave flex time in, for sure.
Yeah.
Don't plan.
That's what he's like. You need to leave breaks in your schedule so
yeah.
that, you know.
And where you're able to shift, you
things
know. So, okay, mm-hmm. this was scheduled for this time, but now my husband needs me,
mm-hmm.
so I'll just move this here.
Right. And I'm really good at, like, adapting.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so flexible, but I'm almost too flexible. So sometimes he kind of just takes over my day, and then I'm like, but I didn't even get to my, like, physical therapy exercise, so my time with God, or, right? So, like, trying to work with him.
Yeah. Well, Christina has something, and then I have something else, too. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say that a few years back, Matt and I were both heavily involved in church. We had kids. Taylor was still at home. And we had all good things on our plate.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
And we were asked to lead a life group. And we said, okay. And we came to the pastors, and one of them helped us to look at our schedule and say, okay, so these things are good, but it's like Paul says, all things are permissible, but not all things are profitable. And so if you and your husband have a time where you can set everything down and say, okay, this is what we have on our plate, and then let him lead,
mm-hmm.
then he can tell you, you know, yeah, you could be working in the nursery, but I don't want you to because I
mm-hmm.
want you to be able to work on our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe for you, like, working in the nursery is really important, but if your husband says, no, I want you to play pickleball with me every week because our marriage comes before you going and working
mm-hmm.
at the church,
yeah.
then, so yeah, letting him lead in that way and saying, what should I have on my plate? And it kills me, but I'm like, can I go do this? And sometimes Matt's like, no, that's really too much for our family. And I'm like, okay.
I think I resisted because he doesn't follow Christ. So it's been tough for
mm-hmm.
me
because yeah.
my priorities are not necessarily his priorities
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
But when
so.
He sees your good godly behavior,
yes.
it's an example to him.
Right.
right.
Mm-hmm. Then we do everything to the glory of God.
Right. We get better.
Because
it gets better.
Yeah. Mm. And that, I was going to say that even is first above him. Not that you would say that, but like say your morning time, you know, you might have to get up a little earlier so you can have your devotions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah, but don't let him take that off of your plate.
Right.
And he won't.
Because
he won't
yeah.
take
yeah.
it off my plate.
He respects
that.
He does respect it.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing I was going to say, too, is at the beginning of the week, discuss with your husband. Okay,
mm-hmm.
these are the things that
right.
we have scheduled already.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor's appointments,
mm-hmm.
or we have to go here for an oil change, or do this or that, and I want to... try a new recipe this week
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I'll need to get the ingredients for that or whatever. And then he'll kind of have an idea of what your week looks
mm-hmm.
like. And you'll also have an idea of what his week looks like as well.
Yeah.
So
we
that
try
has
to
helped
do that.
Us.
We do try to do that.
Yeah.
Stuff comes up and...
Yeah.
Yep.
We've kind of gotten out of the habit of doing that, but we need to do that. You know, we sometimes check up with each other during the week, but it's nice to have it on a schedule.
Oh, yeah,
on a
see,
Sunday
we
night.
Don't, we don't have it on a schedule. I would like it on a schedule because I know I could count on it. But,
yeah,
that,
so that's
like,
something
mm-hmm.
that you can do is just order a whiteboard and say, oh, I'm putting this up and, you know, if you have stuff that you want to put on here, you can. And, you know, we can talk about our week every week.
Yeah, we have it on our calendar. We use our electronic calendar. We should have a shared calendar. We share our calendars with each other.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's another tool. Yeah, that's good. So the next thing is tools. Good segue, right?
Yeah.
So you can make a detailed schedule like is in here. So this is a sample schedule for what Jill has. Do you have this?
This is what we have.
In there? Okay. And it's fairly detailed. Every half an hour or 15 minutes, you know, it changes. But something that maybe you could do on your own is go through your own day and every little thing that you do. And I had to do this for work one time. Mm-hmm. And I think every 15 minutes I had to put down what I was doing. And that was really enlightening for me at my job to see what I was doing, what I wasn't doing, what I should be doing, and what I, you know, could cut out. So this is good for us at home. And I was going to do this, but I got lazy. I got crazy lazy.
That's funny you should say that. We had to do it when I was working. We had to do the same thing. And they wanted to try and standardize how long it took. Like, we had to review a donor file. And they'd be like, okay, it only takes this amount of time. And I'm like, yeah, as long as you don't have to reach out to the TRO, the Tissue Recovery Organization, and find out and get more information about. I said, there is no standard. I said, unless you want to make it 10 minutes to an hour. But they kept trying to, you know.
Like customer service. Yeah. Depends on the customer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, one of the things you can do is like Wednesday, change your sheets.
Right.
Tuesday is my sheet change laundry day. Thursday is my cleaning day. So, you know, that could be kind of a general thing that you could do. Put on a little postcard, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah, just I do everything on the
drawing. Yeah.
Great spreadsheets.
And now you have to bring your son into the fold.
My daughter.
He's doing his chores.
My daughter, yeah.
As of next week.
Yeah.
Oh, daughter.
My daughter. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I thought you said son. Let's move back.
No, she said her 18-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't specify.
And since Wyatt's almost 18, my daughter automatically a son. That was a son.
But also understand that there are going to be interruptions.
Yeah.
And they're not convenient, but they're also an opportunity that you have to follow the Lord, follow your husband, be an example to your children for what it means to honor them as well. So just remember to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. So I want to just talk a little bit about the resources. Do you have the resource list?
No? We have these, the books.
Yeah. Okay, home management, plain and simple. Now, I don't have that book. You might be able to get that online. I think I have looked at it, and it was pretty good. This one is Steve and Cherry Maxwell. It's not the managers of their homes, but this is managers of their chores. So it helps you. It gives you a little bit of a schedule, talks about how you can develop self-discipline for yourself and your kids. So this is kind of a book. Taking Back Time. First time I went through this a couple of years ago, I ordered the book. And I am a procrastinator. And so I started it, but I haven't gotten through the whole thing.
You procrastinated on that?
Yeah. And so now a friend and I are going through it, but it's very good.
Accountability.
Mm.
Okay. And that's something that will help you with your productivity, with your scheduling, with redeeming the time to have some accountability. Do More Better is a book by Tim Challies, and I have it on my iPad. I have the digital copy, but that's good. And he gives you a plan, a productivity sheet that you can write out, and he helps you to put things in order. And he tells you to use tools like calendars, like task masters kinds of things that have helped him. So these are things that he has done that he suggests for you. So if you're interested in that, that's a good one. Crazy Busy is another book. Kevin DeYoung wrote this one, and it's good too. It talks a lot about different things that keep us busy. Things in the church, things that are good. Terror of the Total Obligation. Mission Creep. You can't serve others without setting priorities. A Cruel Kindergarten. You need to stop freaking out about your kids. Okay. Rhythm and Blues. You better rest yourself before you wreck yourself. So, you know, this is a good all-around interesting book. And then this one.
It's for Jim, too.
Okay. I liked reading it, because then I could underline and go back.
And this one, if you're crazy busy, you might just need to listen to it.
That's true. And then it goes in one ear and out the other for me. And then there's Crazy Lazy. This is by Alistair Begg. And this is a good one, too. You can see I have an issue with this, right? Because I have this collection of books. But I think one of the things that is good in here is he says that we need a plan for doing things.
What's that by again?
Crazy Lazy, Alistair Begg.
What's the subtitle? A Warning Against Laziness.
Yeah. And he talks about the sloth and the sluggard in Psalms. And so it's a matter of memorizing scripture, repentance, it is prayer, and staying in the Word, all of the basic things that you know that you should do, but if you're going to be struggling against this, you have to take those steps to memorize. You have to be in the Word. You have to be praying. No doubt about it, right? Okay, and then something else that I do in the morning, and maybe I've talked to some of you about this before, but I read and pray and sing along with, Keith and Kristen Getty, Before You I Kneel. So I'll play it, and then I'll just talk about it for a minute. So and I'll probably hear an advertisement.
While you're finding it, I have something I started recently, and I don't know if it's helpful for anybody else, but my husband always did all the cooking when we first got married, because I got home from work later than he did, and so now that I'm not working as much, I'm just part-time a little here and there, I'm taking over the cooking, but I'm not very successful at it, and so I decided, I said, that's it, like, I have to get this done. So I sat down on Sunday, and I created a spreadsheet to do a meal planning thing. So then I find my recipes, I take the links, and I put them in, so that, like, if it's, like, dinner, I'm like, oh, I'm going to make this tonight. Click on it, and there's the recipe right there. Mm-hmm. And then I just can make, I made a page that has all the recipes on it. I can drag and drop them, and I can plan it across weeks, and, like, have several weeks so that, I know, I mean, teacher, I just...
No, I'm laughing, because if Matt were here, he would say, if only you could follow a recipe, huh?
Well, you don't have to have a recipe. Sometimes it just has, like, I know something, I'm going to do this or that. It might just be, like, a ham and cheese sandwich, but I know my shopping list is there. I can like pop open the recipes and then look at the rest and make my shopping list. And I mean, I haven't finished it yet. I just started. But like the first day I did it, I went, woke up in the morning. I'm like, what am I doing today? Oh, here it is. Oh, God, you know.
That's fantastic.
So helpful. So I'm excited to like flesh it out.
I gotta get with you.
See, mine would have like names of restaurants or phone numbers for takeout.
For summer stuff, it's totally different.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I got my loaf of bread today that she made for me.
I told my husband, I said, I would never cook if it was just for me. I just eat fruit salads. Well, that's how it is.
Yeah.
You know, nuts. Yeah, like I would probably never, almost ever cook, but he wants.
Dip girl. My
lunch was hummus like and
salsa and chips.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here is spaghettis. Let's see if I can get them to play now. No, it started in the middle. Wait, it's got to move it. And I like listening to that and praying along with it because it's got scripture in there. So This is the day you've given your servant. I will rejoice and be glad. That's from Psalm 118, 24. And then the other section is in the last stanza, order our steps to seek first your kingdom in every small and great task. So that's from Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And then teach us your ways. Let's see, where is that?
The third stanza has, till your ways are dwelling deep in me. Mm-hmm. So that's
that. And then establish, well, let's see, order our steps. Okay, but I thought of Exodus 18:20. Teach the statutes and your laws, and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. And then the skill part,
the first stanza.
Yeah, for each skill your grace has given me. That this is from Exodus 36:1-2 when he's talking about, Moses is talking about the people that were assigned to work in the temple, work on the tabernacle. Every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all the Lord has commanded. Every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him to come to the work, to come to work, to perform it. So God has given us skills. He's given us abilities. He's given us things that he wants us to do and to use for his glory. And I think that's a real comforting thing. And it's encouraging too, to think that our days are ordered by him, and he's equipped us and given us everything that we need to do the work that he's called us to do. And we can redeem the time by reading his word, by knowing what he wants us to do, because we've been in the word, because we understand what our days are in his hands. And we can be thankful for that. So
what was that last scripture, Exodus?
Exodus 36:1-2.